Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. It's the 17th of December. I'm Brian. Really glad to be here with you today. Actually, really looking forward to the Word of God today. Not because I know what's coming, because I don't. You know, it's just we need it every day, and I'm looking for some nourishment. We're reading from the Amplified Bible this week. We begin the book of Nahum today. It's another book of prophecy. It's ironically written to the city of Nineveh. So we're 150 years later. 150 years ago, God sent Jonah to this city. And when he delivered God's message, Nineveh fell on its face and repented and were spared. Now, they've returned to their wicked ways and are as bad, if not worse, than they ever were. Sounds familiar. Nineveh was the capital city of the great Assyrian Empire, and its conquests were known to be very, very brutal. Again, God sends a prophet to Nineveh, Nahum, preaching repentance and a return to God. The Ninevites did not listen this time, and the prophecy of judgment came true in 625 BC with the destruction of Nineveh and the falling of the Assyrian Empire. This prophecy shows that God is merciful and patient, but he's not a pushover. He's not going to stand for a nation's sin forever. This should spur us all on to be agents of change in our countries, to be the catalyst for repentance and a return to our God. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 3:19. The burden, or oracle, the thing to be lifted up, concerning Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. The book of the vision of Nahum, of Elkosh. The Lord is a jealous God, and avenging. The Lord avenges, and he is full of wrath. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries, and reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will by no means clear the guilty. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes and threatens the sea and makes it dry and dries up all the rivers. Bashan on the east and Mount Carmel on the west wither, and in the north the blossom of Lebanon fades. The mountains tremble and quake before him, and the hills melt away, and the earth is upheaved at his presence. Yes, the world and all that dwells in it. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can stand up and endure the fierceness of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken asunder by him. The Lord is good, a strength and stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows, recognizes, has knowledge of, and understands those who take refuge and trust in him. But with an overrunning flood, he will make a full end of Nineveh's very sight and pursue his enemies into darkness. What do you devise? And how mad is your attempt to plot against the Lord? He will make a full end of Nineveh. Affliction, which my people shall suffer from Assyria, shall not rise up the second time. For the Ninevites are as bundles of thorn branches for fuel, and even while drowned in their drunken carousing, they shall be consumed like stubble, fully dry, in the day of the Lord's wrath. There is one gone forth out of you, O Nineveh, who plots evil against the Lord, a villainous counselor, the king of Assyria, who counsels for wickedness and worthlessness. Thus says the Lord, though they be in full strength and likewise many, even so shall the Assyrians be cut down when their evil counselor shall pass away. Though I have afflicted you, Jerusalem, I will not cause you to be afflicted for your past sins anymore. For now I will break his yoke from off you and will burst your bonds asunder. And the Lord has given a commandment concerning you, evil Assyrian counselor, that no more of your name shall be born, nor shall your name be perpetuated out of the house of your gods. I will cut off the graven and molten images. I will make their temple your tomb, for you are vile and despised. Behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him who brings good tidings, telling of the Assyrian's death, who publishes peace. Celebrate your feasts, O Judah. Perform your vows, for the wicked counselor, the king of Assyria, shall no more come against you or pass through your land. He is utterly cut off. And the prophet Nahum sarcastically addresses his message to Nineveh. He who dashes in pieces, that is the king of Medo, Babylon, is come up before your face, Nineveh. Keep the fortress and ramparts manned. Watch the road, gird your loins, collect and fortify all your strength and power mightily. For the Lord restores the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of ancient Israel. For plunderers have plundered them and emptied them out and outrageously destroyed their vine branches. The shields of the mighty men of Media and Babylon are dyed red. The valiant men are clothed in dyed scarlet. The chariots blaze with fire of steel on the day of his preparation for battle, and the officers' horses prance like a cypressed forest, reeling in the wind. The chariots rage in confusion in the streets. They run to and fro in wild terror in the broad ways. They flash with steel, making them appear like torches. They rush in various directions like forked lightnings. The Assyrian leader remembers and summons his bravest men. They stumble in their march. They hasten to the city's wall, and their movable defense shelter is prepared and set up. The gates or dams of the rivers surrounding and guarding Nineveh are opened, and the imperial palace of sun-dried brick is dissolved by the torrents and is in dismay. It is decreed. She, Nineveh, is stripped and removed, and her maids are lamenting and moaning like doves, softly for fear, beating upon their breasts and hearts. In Nineveh, like a standing pool, are her waters, and her inhabitants are fleeing away. Stand. Stand firm. A few cry, but no one looks back or causes them to return. Take the spoil of silver. Take the spoil of gold. For there is no end of the treasure, the glory and wealth of all the precious furnishings. Emptiness, desolation, utter waste. Hearts faint and knees smite together, and anguish is in all loins, and the faces of all grow pale. Where is the den of the lions, which was the feeding place of the young lions, where the lion and lioness walked? And the lions whelp, and none made them afraid. The lion tore in pieces enough for his whelps and strangled prey for his lionesses. He filled his caves with prey and his dens with what he had seized and carried off. Behold, I am against you, Nineveh, says the Lord of hosts, and I will burn your chariots in the smoke, and the sword shall devour your young lions. And I will cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messengers shall no more be heard. Woe to the bloody city! It is full of lies and booty, and there is no end to the plunder. The cracking of the whip, the noise of the rattling of wheels, and prancing horses, and chariots rumbling and bounding. Horsemen mounting and charging, the flashing sword, the gleaming spear, a multitude of slain and a great number of corpses. No end of corpses. The horsemen stumble over the corpses. All because of the multitude of the harlotries of Nineveh, the well-favored harlot, the the mistress of deadly charms, who betrays and sells nations through her whoredoms, idolatry and peoples through her enchantments. Behold, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will lift up your skirt over your face, and I will let the nations look on your nakedness, O Nineveh, and the kingdoms on your shame. I will cast abominable things at you and make you filthy, treat you with contempt, and make you a gazing stock. And all who look on you will shrink and flee from you and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will pity and bemoan her? Where then shall I seek comforters for you? Are you better than Noamon, Thebes, capital of Upper Egypt, that dwelt by the rivers or canals, that had the waters round about her, whose rampart was a sea, a Nile, and water her wall? Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and that without limit. Put and the Libyans were her helpers. Yet she was carried away. She went into captivity. Her young children also were dashed in pieces at all the street corners. Lots were cast by the Assyrian officers, for her nobles and all her great men were bound with chains. You will be drunk, Nineveh, with the cup of God's wrath. You will be dazed. You will seek and require a refuge because of the enemy. All your fortresses are fig trees with early figs. If they are shaken, they will fall into the mouth of the eater. Behold, your troops in the midst of you are as weak and helpless as women. The gates of your land are set wide open to your enemies without effort. Fire consumes your bars. Draw for yourself the water necessary for a long-continued siege. Make strong your fortresses. Go down into the clay pits and trample the mortar. Make ready the brick kiln to burn bricks for the bulwarks. But there in the very midst of these preparations will the fire devour you. The sword will cut you off. It will destroy you as the locusts destroy. Multiply yourselves like the licking locusts. Make yourselves many like the swarming locusts. You increased your merchants more than the visible stars of the heavens. The swarming locust spreads itself and destroys and then flies away. Your princes are like the grasshoppers, and your marshals like the swarms of locusts, which encamp in the hedges on a cold day. But when the sun rises, they fly away and no one knows where they are. Your shepherds are asleep, O king of Assyria. Your nobles are lying still in death. Your people are scattered on the mountains and there is no one to gather them. There is no healing of your hurt. Your wound is grievous. All who hear the news about you clap their hands over what has happened to you. For upon whom has not your unceasing evil come continually? Revelation 8, 1 through 13. When he, the Lamb, broke open the seventh seal, there was silence for about half an hour in heaven. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood over the altar. He had a golden censer, and he was given very much incense, fragrant spices and gums, which exhale perfume when burned, that he might mingle it with the prayers of all the people of God, the saints, upon the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, the perfume, arose in the presence of God, with the prayers of the people of God, the saints, from the hand of the angel. So the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and cast it upon the earth. Then there followed peals of thunder and loud rumblings and blasts and noises and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel blew his trumpet. There was a storm of hail and fire mingled with blood cast upon the earth. And a third part of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something resembling a great mountain, blazing with fire, was hurled into the sea. And a third of the sea was turned to blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea perished, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a huge star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it dropped on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of the star is Wormwood. A third part of the waters was changed into wormwood, and many people died from using the water because it had become bitter. And the fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was smitten, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that the light of a third of them was darkened, and a third of the daylight itself was withdrawn, and likewise a third of the light of the night was kept from shining. Then I looked, and I saw a solitary eagle flying in mid-heaven. And as it flew, I heard it crying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth because of the rest of the trumpet blasts, which the three angels are about to sound." Psalm 136:1-26. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who by wisdom and understanding made the heavens, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who stretched out the earth upon the waters, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who made the great light, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever, which shook off and overthrew Pharaoh and his host into the Red Sea. For his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who smote great kings, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. and gave their land as a heritage for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Even a heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who earnestly remembered us in our low estate and imprinted us on his heart, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever, and rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. To him who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Proverbs 30, 7 through 9. Two things have I asked of you, O Lord. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or lest I be poor and steal and so profane the name of my God. So we see in the book of Revelation some of the imagery that has found its way woven into church histories. The incense before the throne, right? Mingled with the prayers of God's people before the Lord. The thing that is so fascinating about this passage today isn't just the drama of these things being unleashed upon the earth. It's basically the way that it happens. Silence is kept in heaven for about a half an hour. Reverential silence. Can you imagine this? 10,000 times 10,000 angels. I mean, an infinite amount of praise. This is a place before the throne of God crying, "Holy, holy, holy," right? And all of heaven is quiet. All of heaven is quiet. And the angel takes the fire from the altar, which seems to indicate that we have a role to play. We are praying. God's people are praying. And then some things are loosed upon the earth. Things that are definite hardships. A third of the earth is essentially wiped out. When we look at some of this imagery and we're like, wow, I just don't even know what to do with that. That would be so disruptive. I mean, I might die. It's worse than anything that's ever been visited upon the earth. I just recently watched this documentary on World War II. I've been wanting to watch it for like 2 years and I finally did because it's very, very long. And the hardships that were wrought on the world during that time are unspeakable and unthinkable. And this goes beyond that. And yet what I find in the book of Revelation is that those who believe are not the ones who are powerless or just trying to get away from it all. This is what happens to usher in what we claim that we long for. We claim that we want Christ on the throne. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray these things, and yet Jesus indicates, when he talks about the end times, this stuff has to happen. This is how it goes down. And so we cannot approach the book of Revelation, no matter how metaphoric or how literal our persuasion is to take it, from any other perspective of this has got to happen. This is ultimately the right and good thing. Because the other side of this is Christ on the throne. And that sat neatly next to the psalm that we read today. It's perfect. For it pounds and pounds and pounds the same point home that we must not forget. His mercy and loving kindness endure forever. The world can pass away, but his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. There can be hardships, terrible even, but his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His mercy and loving kindness endure forever. And it's funny because, like normal, it's kind of a 1-2-3 punch in today's reading. Because the proverb gives us the posture of heart. And all of this, he's praying, Lord, here's what I need. Don't give me too much. Don't give me too little. Give me what I need. If I have more than I ought, I'll forget you. I'll think I did this in my own strength. And look at me, the God of my life. Aren't I smart? Aren't I amazing? Aren't I worthy of worship? And yet if I have too little, then I'll profane your name trying to survive. Provide for me what I need. And I will find comfort and rest in that. Your mercy and loving kindness endure forever. So our Father, we come before you asking for what we need. Your mercy and your loving kindness do endure forever. And we need that. And we also pray over the times that are upon us and over the times that are yet to come, that we approach everything from the perspective of your mercy and loving kindness endure forever. You are the sovereign Lord of all, and we trust you. And so if we can be with you, if we can just but be in your presence, whether in the body or whether in the spirit, it is with you that we long to be. Your mercy and loving kindness endure forever. Everything may pass away, but your mercy and your loving kindness won't. So by your side is where we belong. And in your loving care is where we desire to be. And if it's this generation that has a role to play in these times to come that are spoken of in the book of Revelation, then so be it. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And if it is not yet, for the truth is generation after generation after generation, all through history since this prophecy was unveiled, everyone's thought it was them. If it's now, then come, Lord Jesus. If it's not, then we pray into the future that those who are there will have the strength of will and purpose and trust in you to see it through. Because ultimately what we desire truly is thy kingdom come. Not on our terms, not to our own personal selves and selfishness, but that your kingdom comes in all of its glory on earth as it is in heaven. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that you lead us into all truth. No matter where we fall on the timeline, no matter where we fall in what you have chosen not to reveal, we each have a role to play, and it is all moving in that direction. So lead us, guide our steps, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. www.dailyaudiobible.com is the website. So I announced yesterday, the video that we were working on is being unleashed. And it's being unleashed. It's going quickly, and that's good. This is great news. Just want to remind you, if you haven't seen it yet, well, you can see it at the Daily Audio Bible website. It'd be hard to miss on the homepage. The links are big. It'd be hard to miss. Click those links. It'll take you to a page where you can download and whatever, whether you want it in standard or high definition, in a couple of formats, you can download that video. What I'm asking is that you get that video to your church and see if they'll play it. Invite your entire church family to experience the Word of God every single day. And imagine what change that will, what that will do in your local church body. Not because I'm sitting here reading it behind the mic, but because it's the Word of God. Look at what's happened to you. Look at what the Word of God does every day in your life. What if everybody you knew committed themselves to submitting themselves to the Word of God? Imagine. So download the video, get it to your church. Either burn it on a DVD or get in touch with your audio visual person and download it and get it into the presenter program, whatever. But also, you can proliferate this video wherever you want. Send it to your Facebook friends, play it for your small group, whatever. The idea is that we get people to experience the Word of God in community. It changes things. So the video is available. It's also the middle of the month. It's time while you're doing all this to vote at Podcast Alley and write a review at iTunes for the Daily Audio Bible. I explained that a couple of days ago. I won't go into all the same detail again. And the truth is, all of this stuff goes hand in hand. We are inviting a new group of people to experience the Bible every day in the coming year. And so although most of us will go around again, we must not just have learned and absorbed the Word of God, but now it's time to live the Word of God. So we must mentor and model what it looks like for those who are coming behind us. All right, if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at the website. There's a link that will take you through that process. If you prefer it, the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And if you have a prayer request or comment, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. All right, that is it for this morning. I love you. I'm Brian. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Candy calling from Hong Kong. This is my second time calling. I called for a Christmas greeting last time, and I was just really happy that it was being played, and I feel like I'm a part of the community. Anyway, I'm calling for a prayer request today, and I was just hoping, I'm new to this whole Bible and just everything, learning about God starting this year. I've just need some help and uplifting because I'm in a new relationship with God. I broke up my old relationship with my boyfriend, and I started a new job in teaching, and it's all of these things happening and moving to a new house, and everything just seems very new and exciting, but also overwhelming at times. And the kids, the students are not really giving their full attention in my classes. So I guess I'm just asking for some prayer and encouragement from the community. And I do listen to your prayer requests, and I'm praying for you guys as well. So I just wanted to call and just say thank you for being there for me. Okay, bye-bye.
Hi, this is Shannon. I'm from Erie, Pennsylvania, and I'm just calling in to ask for some prayers for one of my best friends. I think she needs to know a little more about Jesus and God and find out that he has so much love to give her, because she needs something to cheer her up in life and have the joy that God gives instead of like friends and people and stuff, because you can't always count on friends and people. And I've tried talking to her a little bit about God, but I don't think she realizes that she could have so much joy and excitement. So I just pray that somehow God could get a hold of her and just fill her up with the Holy Spirit, and she could just have so much joy and excitement, because she struggles a lot with things in life, and I just want to be able to help her to have some peace of mind and everything. And I know God and Jesus can give that to her. So thanks.